You are listening to the ForceCom Frontline, bringing you to our soldiers on the front lines of readiness.
Hey everyone, and welcome to ForceCom Frontline. I'm Jeannie, and I'm your host. Today, I am joined by Command Sergeant Major Shade Monday, who is the Senior Enlisted Leader for the U.S. Army Recruiting Command, located at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And he is joining me today so we can talk about recruiting. Welcome, Sergeant Major Monday. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me today. How are you doing on this fine day?
Good. First, I'd like to say thank you. For allowing me to come on the show and giving you a little update, a little down and dirty about recruiting command right now.
Okay. I love it. So to start, just tell me a little bit more about yourself. How long have you been in the Army? Where are you originally from? That sort of thing. Just tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I think, first of all, we don't have enough time to really lay out the almost 30 plus years of service. So I'll give you the down and dirty of it.
So
I'm a third generation military. Grandfather served in World War II. My dad served in Vietnam. And then my stepdad actually served in Vietnam. So kind of like a 3.5 generation, I tell most people. Initially joined the military in the National Guard as a bridge crew member. And, you know, in AIT, like so many other men and women out there, I was like, you know what? I think I want to go active duty. But like many others, my mom's like, nope, not going to happen. You're going to be the first one to go to college. You're going to go do this, do that. So I did go to college, and then I went to active duty. Originally born out in Eastern Washington, specifically Moses Lake, Washington.
I know where that's at. I spent almost 10 years at JBLM. My husband's family is from Yakima, so I know Moses Lake very well.
Yeah, so Moses Lake lived on the old Air Force base there.
Okay.
My parents moved to Seattle, you know, here and there throughout the thing. And then my mom remarried and we moved to the great state of South Dakota.
Wonderful.
I wouldn't say the greatest state, but it is a good state.
Hey, my son goes to college in North Dakota, so I totally get it.
Oh, wow. Really small world. You got Moses Lake and then you got, we're at North Dakota.
Grand Forks.
Oh, Grand Forks. Yes. We were just visiting there about 6-7 months ago. Beautiful area. A little cold though.
It is very cold. His campus, he's at UND. They shut down yesterday and will resume operations, I think, tonight at like 10 p.m. So, yeah. Free school days, right?
Yeah, wow. But, so I joined National Guard there in South Dakota. And I've been in about National Guard first. And then I've been serving for about 29 years active, a little over 29, and about 32 total service. You know, getting after military stuff, I guess, for that's the only job I've done, really.
Okay, so awesome.
That's a little bit about me.
I love it. Small world, right?
Yeah, very, very small. Now you even know, I mean, if you know Moses Lake, and then if you know UND, I'm somewhere in the middle right there.
There you go. Absolutely. So with your 30 plus years of experience, you've spent a lot of time in ForceCom units, at every echelon. So you were most recently the Division Command Sergeant Major of 1st Cav. So you've been around soldiers a lot. And what are you taking from those jobs in ForceCom, being down in the dirt with the soldiers and helping progress recruiting initiatives?
So I think it's just one simple thing, and I know we'll talk more about it, but it's leadership.
Okay.
I think all those years, really it's leadership. Really bring the dynamics of taking care of people, because in a geographical dispersion like USREC, 1,800 locations. It's really about how do you take care of people. So I think that's what I'm bringing. 1st Cav, great organization, but it's all in one installation, Fort Cavazos. So when I wanted to touch base, I just went down there and touched somebody. It's a little more challenging when you're thinking about Italy, Guam, Alaska. I mean, Moses Lake has a recruiting station
right
there. And then Grand Forks has a recruiting station there, too. So I think that's the biggest thing, though, is leadership.
Okay, Absolutely. And I know you've been the USREXR major for just shy of a year now. So you
just shy, days.
Yeah. So, and you came on board right as they were launching Be All You Can Be, the new Army slogan. Well, I wouldn't say new, but like the new campaign with the retro slogan. And many would say that Be All You Can Be was the best slogan the Army's ever had. And how do you?
It was the GOAT.
It was the greatest of all time. So how do you feel that the new campaign with the retro slogan is doing for recruiting?
I think it's doing great.
Okay.
I think it. You know. I might be a little biased. I definitely could be biased. That's how I joined. You know, the old Be All You Can Be. I think we could all recite the commercials or the jingle. I think is what they totally call it. But it is doing great. Really, what it, you know, I tell people, it just shows the Army has so many different possibilities. I talk to people every day about, you know, the Army, and I think the Army is the true stepping stone. I mean, yes, great, 30 years like myself, that's perfect. But not everyone's probably going to serve 30 years. But it is a great stepping stone to launch your career into the future, whatever you do. You know, we have 200 different MOSs out there. There's so many possibilities and opportunities that you could get after if you serve the military or serve the Army. I'm biased, real biased right now. Right. Serve the Army.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned MOSs. So are there certain ones that the Army is looking more specifically at than others where we're hurting for recruiting?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there is, you know, we track all the MOSs, top 14, top 10. You know, the one MOS we're always looking for, and I won't lie, we're recruiting is infantry. Always looking for infantry men and women out there. But every MOS is truly needed. So if, you know, I always tell people, if you have someone that you know, family members interested in joining the Army, talk to a recruiter, you know, based off skills, based off scores on tests. You'd be surprised what most men and women could qualify for.
Okay. Absolutely. Now, I know you're biased, the Army and recruiting, you know, we all know recruiting is down in the Army as well as, you know, across all of the branches. Do you think there's a specific reason for that, or is it a multitude of things, you know, coming from, you know, higher up in the echelon of recruiting? What do you see as the issues for recruiting?
I think you are right. We are down compared to last year's numbers. We all know those numbers. But I will tell you, we're in a great place right now. We're actually on a higher glide path than we were last year. So obviously our recruiters are getting after it, and they're truly getting out there and finding these young men and women out there. But the true challenge is we're just like another corporation competing for that talent out there in the workforce. I mean, the example I would use, you know, coming out of Fort Cavazos, the famous gas station Buc-ee's. You know what Buc-ee's is?
I do know Buc-ee's.
Right? So Buc-ee's is very competitive to the military, believe it or not. They're offering a lot of similar things that we offer. So I will tell you, we're all in a fight for this. It's really, I would say, the war on talent. But what we offer, you know, obviously we have a lot of things, but there's also, it's just a challenge, I would say. The propensity to serve, you know, about 10% is really propensed to serve right now. So that makes it a little bit challenging. Only about 23% between the ages of 17 and 24 are eligible to serve. That's just fully qualified. And then, you know, the hard part for me, you know, being in so long, 75% of our youth really have little or no knowledge about the Army. And I would tell you, you know, when I think, you know, of the third generation, my grandfather living in Moses Lake, the neighbor here served, the neighbor here served, the neighbor next across the street served. We don't see that as much, right? It was a different generation. It seemed like everyone served in World War II. I mean, that is why it's called the greatest generation. But I will tell you, there's a lot of men and women out there, and our recruiters are getting out there each and every day, you know, finding those men and women and educating them to say, hey, here's an opportunity to serve your country and then start a path potentially to serve long-term, or, you know, move on to another field.
Okay. Now, and then you use buzzwords like propensed and qualified. Yeah. And from my foxhole, I know what that means. I came from recruiting, so I understand that. But for the people who are watching right now, can you kind of explain what propensed and qualified means? You know, somebody who may not know anything about the Army, like, what does that mean to them if they're going to talk to a recruiter? You know, and they're, you know, the recruiters are saying, oh, well, you're not qualified. What are those qualifications? Can you kind of expand on that just a little bit?
Yeah. So you're going to get down to the weeds on this one, right? You know, qualified, right? I mean, and I won't go into full details, right? But qualified, I mean, you're talking age, you're talking high school graduate and so forth like that. Potentially you have things in your records, you know, maybe some kind of drug charge or something like that. All that stuff has to do with qualifications. But I'll be honest, you know, even the people that think they're not qualified could potentially be qualified. Okay. Right now, I mean, you know, our organization, USAREC here, we have the waiver authority. And I tell everybody each and every day, like a great example, my niece lives out in St. Louis, blew her knee out 2 times in high school. And she's like, I don't think I could ever serve. I said, you never know. It might take another doctor's visit. It might take something else to prove that, hey, you know, you could serve. But I will tell you, besides laying all the different things you qualify for those men and women out there to get out there and actually just say, hey, let's go talk to a recruiter.
Okay,
fantastic. And I think that's what we need to do.
I love it. Now, you've been in for a really long time, and you know,
not that long.
Well, I can say my husband was in for 21 years. He's been retired for 5 years now. And I've seen the ebbs and flows of recruiting over the years. My grandfather was, I'm much like you, military brat. My grandfather was in the Army. My dad was in the Air Force. My stepdad was in the Marine Corps. Then I married Army, and his parents were both Marines. So I totally get it. And I've seen the ebbs and flows over the years with recruiting. We've gone up and down, up and down. Do you think that, you know, kind of recruiting, you've mentioned the positive changes that we've seen, you know, we're on the right glide path now. Do you think the recruiting that it's went down in the recent years, is this just an ebb and flow of the recruiting, you know, of just in and out of the Army? Is that what we're seeing?
I would say it's ebb and flows, of course, right? And I think if we look back at what we were talking about a little bit on the war on talent, I think it's everything. There's other things that affect, you know, when a young man or woman wants to join the military. When you're talking about the economy, mm-hmm. Great example. When there's jobs out there, it is a little harder. I mean, maybe if I put myself in the position, if I'd say back in, you know, in South Dakota, I went to the School of Mines and Technology. That's actually where I went to college at down in Rapid City. So if I could have found a really good job, maybe I wouldn't have joined the military or went active duty. So I think everything kind of, you know, impacts the men and women in a decision to serve, you know, in our military. But the war on talent, I mean, there's a lot out there right now. There's a lot of opportunities in and outside the military. We just offer a little bit more, you know, we offer a lifestyle. We offer, you know, bonuses up to $50,000. You know, our salary is very competitive. We offer, you know, retirement plans, all those things. And I know you know this, but our young men and women out there sometimes don't know that. But then again, at 19, I don't know if I was really worried about, you know, healthcare. I was worried about adventure. I was worried about, where, you know, how far can I get away from South Dakota, to be honest with you.
I was the same way. I was offered a full JRTC scholarship because I did 4 years of JRTC in high school. And I couldn't commit the next 8 years of my life, 4 years to college and then 4 years in the Army. And at 18 years old, you're not looking at the next 8 years of your life. You're young. No. You just want to be free. So I 100% get it. And you know, I don't think college is for everyone. That's why I'm encouraging my daughter to join the military right now. So
I think you're spot on. I mean, because there's nothing wrong with enlisting for 2 to 3 years, or I'd say 3 to 6. That is a great stepping stone. But as a parent with our kids, you know, we all served. We think, hey, we know what's best for you. You got medical. And, you know, my daughter's like, I don't care about medical right now. So I think sometimes we get wrapped around the long game, but 3-year commitment, I mean, serving 3 years for the GI Bill, I mean, that is a pretty good gig. And absolutely, if you're picking 11, you know, if you want to go 11 X-ray, $50,000 bonus.
Wow.
Plus, some, you know, all those different things out there. But you know, when you're young, sometimes you think you don't need all that. But you know,
now I want to step back for a second. You said an 11 yeah. X-ray, $50,000 bonus. I know what that is, yeah. But can you explain what an 11 X-ray is and why it's important?
So 11 X-rays are, you know, 22% of our army is infantrymen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, it's just it's a math problem. But 11 X-ray, right? You're an infantryman that joins, and then out of AIT deciding on what MOS, you know, what 11 series you're going to be. But because that's one of our MOSs that we're short, we've put $50,000 to that.
Wow.
That you signed up.
That actually sounds like a pretty good deal right now with our economy. I'm like, am I too old? I think I am. So
never
yeah.
too old.
No, my kids
because there's
join.
A waiver. They're never too old because we can do waivers.
No,
it kind of goes back. You're talking about, you know, I know, but you're talking about meeting the criteria. We do have an age limit, but I will tell you, we are admitting Craig Morgan, the country singer.
Yeah, and now right? What's the age limit?
So the age limit 42.
Okay, I'm too
yeah,
old.
Yeah, 42 right now, right? I had to think about that. But the age limit, you never know if you got a skill set. So Craig Morgan, the country singer,
yes,
you know, he had a skill set. And of course, he served before. Mm-hmm. But we waived him to come in the reserves. Obviously, he's going to bring, I mean, imagine him walking into your reserve station, and he's a famous country singer. And you can imagine what they're going to be like when he walks in, teaching them some good, you know, things about music.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we've had a lot of famous people join the military
yeah.
over the years. So it's not unheard of. So absolutely. So I know we kind of touched on, you know, we're making progress in recruiting and whatnot. Now, what does success look like to you, you know, as we're moving forward? Yeah, we're steadily going up, but we're still kind of falling behind. You're not completely meeting our numbers. So what are we looking at for, you know, to be considered successful with the campaign?
So I think success is based off what the secretary is asked us to get 55,000, right? 55,000 and then an additional 5,000 in delayed entry. That's our success. That is what they've asked us to do, and that is our goal in USAREC, to meet that mission. Simple. I mean, we could say a lot of other things success, but that's the mission we've been given, and we're all up for it. And I have all the confidence and faith that we're going to make that mission.
Awesome. I love it. Now, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, you may not know what we know what we're talking about, but the audience,
yeah.
some audience members might not know what we're talking about. So those who are listening that don't come from an Army background or even just a general military background, you know, and I can tell you this, my daughter, like I said, her dad, 21 years in the Army, her grandparents, you know, across all of the branches. She's 17 years old. She's a senior in high school. And I'm trying to convince her to go into the military of some sort. It doesn't have to be the Army. She's not like her brother. She needs a little bit more push in a direction for her life. There's nothing wrong with that. She is just not, you know, a student. She's just not a college kid. She's more trades, things like that. And even she, growing up in the military world, doesn't 100% understand what the military is. You know, we talk about bonuses, we talk about contracts, we talk about MOSs, which for those out there who don't know, military operational specialty is what an MOS is. And so she doesn't quite know what all of those things are. So what would your pitch be to those people? If you were talking to my daughter, what would you tell them about the Army and joining? And, you know, because she's on the fence. She doesn't know. She's talking maybe Navy, talking Army.
Can I get her phone number?
Oh, they're already hounding her at the high school. Your recruiters are all over her. Don't worry. We got her. But what would you say to somebody who might be on the fence, somebody like my daughter who's not sure what she wants to do? What would your pitch of, like, recruit me to the Army?
Yeah, so first of all, I think I got same, you know, I have a 15-year-old in the house, and I have a my other youngest one is 21, and I've been throwing the 21. The 15 acts like she doesn't know anything about the Army. The 21 acts like she knows it all. But my pitch to them, and even to your daughter, really is, it is a great start to the adult life. It is a great start foundation. It gets you out of your mom's house, your own money, right? And does she have a car?
Yeah.
Does your daughter have a car?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's got the car. You're probably paying for insurance.
Yep.
You're probably paying for all that stuff. Cell phone, all of the things. So she is going to live the best life. She's going to drive away. She's going to enlist, and she's going to live on her own. But really, you know, and we're joking and everything, but it's to start a career, enables an individual to really find a purpose in their life. And you're talking about 200 different jobs, from culinary to STEM to public affairs, obviously, you know, public affairs, you know, well, to mechanics. I'm an engineer by trade, all those things. And you are going to get paid. You're going to get 30 days of leave. Of course, we got healthcare. You and I can describe the healthcare tour, college tuition. You know, and I think that's one thing. She might not want college. I did go to college, but I didn't want it. But a $50,000 bonus, you got college tuition while you're serving in the military, and then you have the GI Bill after. And then the GI Bill, you know, or the 9/11, we would say, now can be used for her kids. I mean, that's 20. For you, that's probably like 50 years down the road before she has kids.
I hope so.
You know? But I think it's really the foundation of starting a career after you're leaving your mom and dad's house, and finding your freedoms and enjoying life and really experiencing life out on your own, away from you. Not in a bad way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not in a bad way. You gotta let them fly at some point. I mean, my son went to North Dakota. I live in North Carolina, and when he went off to college, we were living in Washington State. So he flew the coop. I see him once a year, maybe, if we're lucky.
How did he get there?
Okay.
Scholarship?
No, actually. So he has in-state tuition because of his dad, but he wanted to be a pilot. And UND has one of the best aviation programs outside of Embry-Riddle, and he wanted the college experience. So we did a couple of tours. We went to UND, took him to a hockey game, and he was sold. And he is in his fourth year at UND right now. So, and he loves it. He absolutely loves living in North Dakota. So I'm happy for him. I see him once a year. This year will probably be twice because his sister graduates from high school. So I'm making him come home for that. Most kids don't do that, though. They don't take that leap of faith and step that far off of the porch of mommy and daddy's houses. And I think the military does that for a lot of kids who want an adventure. So, no. I think it's great advice.
We were in the airport, Louisville Airport, the other day, and a kid walked up and said, thanks for your service. And he was an 18-year-old, no kids, no ties, no nothing. And we started talking and pitching him real quick. And, you know, we asked him, you know, what do you like to do? He's like, I'm just an adventurous person. I'm like, oh, we have a job for that, right? Because that was the be all you could be about adventure, purpose of joining. And we contacted him, and I don't know what one of the recruiters locally is working and going forth with it.
Absolutely.
I think there's just a piece sometimes we need, as you're talking about your daughter, we need someone other than the parent to say, here's the benefits of
absolutely
of joining the Army or the service.
100%.
Because I got some friends, their kids do not serve in the Army and they're retired. And I said, if you just serve, that's still a win for us.
Absolutely. So those are really all of the questions that I have for today. Do you have any final thoughts regarding recruiting before?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I do. I think what I want to share is really the recruiter surge.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, almost 8,000 true recruiters out there right now. We identified we were short about 1,000 recruiters based off of, you know, PCS, ETS, and so forth. But right now, we've since November, we've almost put 2,000 recruiters into the Army Recruiting College. So, you know, wow. Fort Knox is booming, right? It's like a boom city right now.
Right.
It's hard to get a haircut. It's hard to get a lot of things. But almost 2,000 will go out there just to get after this year and making this mission. These are highly, I mean, these are some of the most motivated NCOs out there. Now, with that, there's some incentives for them. And I'm not going to lie to you. This is the plug for any young NCOs out there. So right now, between November and beginning of April, and it could be extended, each recruiter that comes to the ARC, Army Recruiting College, gets $5,000. Okay, so that's not a bad little for a young sergeant out there. And if you're a sergeant, and as soon as you graduate the ARC, 8 weeks, you're promoted to staff sergeant.
Wow.
So you got a $5,000 bonus. Now you're getting that pay, you know, say a couple hundred dollars extra a month. And then for the staff sergeants in USREC and the ones coming to USREC, if they can put 24 contracts in 1 year, we'll promote them to sergeant first class.
Wow, that's a good deal.
So I don't think there's any other command out there doing this right now. And I will tell you, it's very impactful because, you know, without USREC, it's really hard to man the force.
Absolutely.
So I will tell you. And then we have meritorious promotions that, you know, we can promote off meritorious based. There's a lot of incentives that are for the recruiters right now. It is a great time to be in USREC. I'm not going to lie. If I was a young E5 back then, I'd have put my hand up. I'd have been running. I would have probably been knocking on the door like, forget HRC. I'm gonna come join the team. But I will tell you what's nice about it. Almost all of these are volunteers. So they volunteer to come out to USREC. And some will succeed, some will get promoted, and then they'll go back out in the force and really talk, you know, well about USREC and really, you know, find their battle, but their replacement to come out here. But that's really what I wanted to talk about because, you know, our men and women are doing a lot of great work out here, and it's challenging. You know, 15 or about 1,800 locations, I would say, all around the world, a station could be two people or it could be 20 personnel. It's one of the most challenging jobs out there, but it's also one of the most rewarding jobs. And from my standpoint, I've had a lot of great organizations. This is the greatest organization I've served in, but it's also, it is the most challenging, most demanding, because I'm sitting in this office a lot too, right? There is no soldiers to go check on.
Right.
And I also travel a lot. Like I said, went up to Minneapolis, went up in UND in that area just a few months ago. I was out in JBLM a few months before that, but this job is amazing. And I will tell you, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to allow me to come on behalf of Major General Davis and I, we appreciate all the support you and everyone else from ForceCom and the Army is really providing to USREC.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. We're happy to support. I'm in charge of mostly community engagements. So I see a lot of our units, ForceCom units, supporting recruiting events across yes. the nation. So
yes.
I'm happy. I know there's, because you're a Fort Cavazos guy, the Houston Rodeo, they're doing some recruiting support out there this week. So I see a lot of things that we're doing to help recruiting because without you guys, we wouldn't have the soldiers in ForceCom. To train. And so we appreciate you guys and what you guys are doing out there from your foxholes. And I look forward to talking to some of your recruiters here in the next month or so.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to get down and dirty kind of in the dirt with them, as General Pappas okay. likes to say, and talk more about contracts and bonuses and qualifiers and, you know, propensity and all of that stuff. So I'm going to get it down from the bottom level as to where, you know, if I were a high school student talking to a recruiter, I'm going to talk to them. So
we're going to give you some good recruiters. We're going to give, you know, we recognize our top 13 recruiters every quarter in the mm-hmm. Pentagon, but we also have, you know, our recruiter regular Army of the Year, our recruiter AGR of the Year. And then we have the Station Commander of the Year. You know, these are the middle, you know, that have really went above and beyond just the regular recruiter out there. I'm not saying anything's wrong, but these men and women, I'm telling you, they're a whole nother level. So we'll make sure we get some of those out there. To really educate the force. And I'm excited, and I do appreciate you bringing them on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Sergeant Major Monday, everyone from U.S. Army Recruiting Command. We thank you and appreciate having you on today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day, sir.
That's it for this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can also find full video episodes of our podcast on YouTube. You can just search for the Force Comm Frontline. And we'll see you next time on the front line.